Two pros and a cup of Joe, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox. And coming up on the show, what is wrong with the Kansas City Chiefs? We will investigate all of that. Is it Patrick Mahomes? Is it the defense? We'll get into that. We're also going to take a closer look at the Cincinnati Bengals. There's an apology coming from one member of the show here when it comes to Cincinnati and what the season preview looked like. Jared Goff returns to L.A. It does not go well. A for effort for the Detroit Lions, but there's a misnomer about Matt Stafford and company. We're going to have another edition of the Prop Bet Monster. And how much do you know about Halloween candy? Because one coach in college football knows more than you. All of that coming up next here on the Monday edition of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It could be apology time here on Fox Sports Radio regarding one team in the NFL. We'll get into all of that here coming up in just a couple of moments from now. It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. It's LeVar Arrington. It's Brady Quinn. It's Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. You can hang out with us as always on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates and wherever you are making us a part of your Monday morning. We appreciate you doing so, and we're going to take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Hey Jonas,
what's up, Sticks?
Hey, Brady, you guys do know my nickname or my initials, right? You know, my initials are L.A., you know what
yeah.
I mean? And
right.
You know,
right.
I just wanted to make sure that I put it out there that in between my initials, we put the Dodgers, you know what I mean? So they call me L.A., you know, so LeVar Dodger Arrington, you know
That's
what I mean?
Good.
I just figured
you wanted to get
out.
Right into that. Huh?
I just figured yeah. I'd put that right back
okay.
out there, you
wow.
know what I mean? You know,
just
for consumption by Berto back there. He clearly has changed.
Thanks, man. After all.
Hey, you clearly have shift gears to totally being into football season because I see. Oh,
I got my Black Dodger hat.
Okay,
what are we talking
right.
about?
Black Dodger hat meaning death. But okay. Yeah. All right. There we go. I just wanted to put it out there and start the show.
My
you know
God.
What I mean?
All right. How could
I'm
you?
Sorry. But my initials are fired. L.A. Like that is. Everybody asks me. I'm an old school cat, old school player. So I got like a chain with a L.A. medallion on there, you know what I mean? Like nice little cool little L.A. deal. Everybody's like, hey, what are you a L.A. fan? Are you
do,
a L.A.
Do
Dodgers
we want to talk
fan?
About that 9 overtime game? Or?
All right, Jonas, take the show. Let's go. Let's do this show.
Anybody
right.
can get
all right.
here.
All right. And Brady, Brady is the biggest – Ugh, he immediately hit me up with the message. Immediately.
No, I did not. What? I did not text you at all on Saturday.
That wasn't
that.
You? Was that Jonas?
No.
No, I didn't send anything.
That was definitely Brady.
No, go back and look through. You are dead wrong. I didn't
wrong?
Say a word
was
on
it,
Saturday.
Was it Plexico?
I knew how you were feeling.
Was it Plexico?
See,
somebody, one of y'all got me. And y'all
me.
Got me good. Maybe it was Plexico.
Wasn't us. Yeah.
Ah, oh, man. Yeah, it hurts so bad when people can make fun of you for your team losing, you know?
I didn't say a word because right. I know how that feels.
Yeah,
man. Trust
okay.
me.
I appreciate
bro,
that.
Bro, I lost every bet the year after I left Notre Dame. And I was like, oh, this is cool. It's what guys in the NFL do. They take their alma mater against whatever else. I lost so many damn bets that year. I was like, this is just not any fun anymore. Mm. It really took all the fun out of it. I was scarred, dude. Mm. They were a 3-win football team after I left. I was scarred by all the bets I lost. I do not reach out to anyone when their alma mater loses.
I appreciate it. I was rubbing crystals. I was burning sage. I was doing all kinds of stuff when we was coming down to it. Then we got to We got to the overtime. I was like, man, I was doing We Are Penn State chants outside.
I thought for sure you guys were going to win an overtime. That was the surprising thing.
Which
when
ones?
We didn't get it done in the first couple, I was like, you know what? This does not feel good. I do not feel yeah. good about this. And I don't know. It was bad, man. I had to shake that one off, man.
I'll be honest. It was – Y'all were at home. That's the worst part.
Oh, like, man.
It would have been one thing because, like, usually the home team, the better teams, which clearly Penn State's the better team, just not that day. You know, the longer the game goes, there's a greater likelihood you're going to win out.
Yeah.
And that did not happen.
It did not happen.
I was shocked. A backup quarterback came in. I mean, Brandon Peters came in and ended up tossing the game when it passed. That
is that
crazy?
We knocked the starter out. I'm like, okay. This should be good, but I don't feel good. My spirit just wasn't feeling right. And sure enough, this dude throws for the touchdown. Not they didn't run it in. They throw for the touchdown. So, I mean, the 2-point conversion. It is what it is. I still am all love, all in love, all support. Everything we are, baby, it happens. And you know what? It happened. I mean, yeah. It's better than being a Kansas City Chiefs fan. How about that?
Oh, now that is, I mean, like, now again, if there was one thing,
Berto did it to me. Berto did it to me. So I just figured that's what I learned in the pros. You got to put the pressure on something or somebody else when the pressure is all on you. Kansas City, you're up.
Yeah, they listen. The Chiefs got a problem. We might have a little bit of a problem with the Kansas City Chiefs. All right, so Brady Quinn, you played in Kansas City.
Yes, sir.
How's the fan base, you think, feeling about their Chiefs right now after another ugly loss? This time, I mean, this game wasn't even close. They took a beating in Tennessee yesterday, and so here we are. Mahomes gets dinged. The offense looks bad, and they continue to be struggling and are under 500 throughout this portion of the season, which I don't think a lot of people expected.
No. You know what's interesting about this is – you know, so people are probably ready to write them off, but we tend to forget. Haven't the Patriots got off to some slow starts?
Yeah.
Like, don't we remember a New England Patriots team with a guy named Tom Brady used to get off to some slow starts to a season? And then what would happen? About halfway through,
they'd hit their stride,
and then they wouldn't lose the rest of the way. So I'm not one of those people who's going to write off this Chiefs team. They're turning over the football too much right now. That is obvious. Their defense has been atrocious. I mean, yeah. I said it before. They're not at that pace anymore, but they were literally giving up as many yards per play as the St. Louis Rams, the greatest show on turf, would gain throughout that historical season. Like that 7.1 yards per play was what they were giving up. And the Rams got about 7 yards per play. They're about still at that number. But think about that. It's hard to win in the NFL. And I don't care if you have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy and Tyreek Hill, all these people. I don't care how talented you are. If your defense continually puts you in the position where you almost have to be one-dimensional – because you're going to have to be coming back in games or scoring 30-plus points in games every single week, more often than not, you're going to lose. Yeah. And more often than not this year, the Chiefs have lost to this point. They're 3-4. I'm not concerned, because I think if you cut out a lot of the turnovers, which, you know, they can. Patrick had a little bit of this issue when he was at Texas Tech. You know, he had the propensity to force plays or try to make a play instead of just – living to play the next down, taking a sack, throwing the football away. You know, all those things, like, you saw that on tape. And so he's always had it in him. It's just, it hasn't really reared its ugly head until now, where their defense has been so bad, they haven't been able to support him. And so there's a couple things I think you could highlight, and you could say, all right, like, what do you draw as to why they've struggled so bad? Well, one, you'd say, if you're going to pay this man, and you're going to pay Tyreek Hill and all these pieces on offense, and then a couple pieces on defense, guess what? You can't allocate much of your cap to everyone else to raise that tide. So you've got a solid group. You got some stars on defense. You got Tyrann Mathieu. You've got Chris Jones. You've got some of those stars. But you're not supplementing the rest of the positions, though. And then look, their secondary has not played well. You know, their cornerbacks in particular have been very poor this year. And that's a concern, where if you don't draft well, you don't develop well, you can't find some diamonds in the rough around these stars, yeah, you're going to have a hard time then if you start playing bad football, turning the football over the way they have. So I think that's one cause and effect, is when you start signing all those stars, you better not miss, though, with those, you know, third round, fourth round, fifth round picks, those guys that you got to rely on then to step up and be starters, because you got to pay everyone else.
Yeah.
That's how it works. You That's know, one thing. But there's a number of things you can point to right now.
I'll start with this. I'm happy and I'm glad on everything that Patrick Mahomes is okay, first and foremost. Because let me tell you something. That hit that took place, sometimes it don't pan out the right way, the way he got hit. And that's first and foremost. I'm glad he's okay, because that was a cringer, you know, when you saw that one hit. Second thing is, if he's going to be your leading rusher, that's telling me really all I need to know in terms of what we're going to do moving forward against this Kansas City Chiefs team in terms of prep defensively for the week, which is if we can force them into a one-dimensional style of play, which is difficult. This is the brilliance of Andy Reid, is his ability to still be able to do what he wants to do, even though you know what it is that he's going to do. That's been Andy Reid's brilliance. If you cannot run the ball, and Patrick Mahomes is your leading rusher with 30-some yards, I believe it was, like 35, 37 yards, if that's all you're going to get out of your run game, it's difficult for any. And you say it doesn't matter if it's Pat Mahomes. I tend to agree with that. I don't care how good the quarterback is. If your quarterback is made to have to figure it all out from run to pass, your team is in trouble, especially right at the pro level. Your team is in trouble.
And well, then, wouldn't you say this is an example of like, is Patrick Mahomes the best in the league in your mind?
At quarterback?
Yes.
Based off of resume, yes. Currently, today, right, it could be up for debate.
Well, to your point though, like if you could pick one guy to start a team with, I think most people would pick Patrick. And here's the reality is, and it's kind of been one of those debates where like, oh, you know, you put Patrick on the Detroit Lions right now, they'd be a Super Bowl winning team. No, they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't, dude. I'm sorry. Right. Like, this is an example of that. He's on a team that's won a Super Bowl and been to one.
Yes.
And they can't even get to a winning record because what's around him now, and again, he needs to play better, and he's not playing at that MVP level. But it's a team sport, man. Like, you all want to keep acting like it's going to solve all your issues, the quarterback. It's not. It's not going to when you look at how he's playing, but how everything else around him is playing right now.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's, you know, and again, when you have a defense that travels, and when you say travels, they can always give you a chance. That has been what the Kansas City Chiefs have had during this dominant run. And now, for some reason, it has come to a screeching halt, and it's making a difference. What people may have not have realized is that the level of accomplishment and the level of achievement, the way that this Chiefs team has been playing, has been so high that you're not really forced to look at where the balance lies. But you can see it when a team is struggling, right? So now that this team has to try to recalibrate, which that's, again, I'm with you. I'm not doom and gloom, but I am also realistic. And if we're looking at some of the other teams that have the same record as the Chiefs, we're not going to have the same type of outlook for what it is that they have moving forward, and rightfully so because of the type of talent that's on Kansas City. But with that being said, they have to recalibrate what made them great. Where did their greatness come from? Where did it exist? And they're going to have to sink into that and reestablish what their identity is. Because right now, while I will not say I'm going to cash in their season and what that looks like for them or what it could be, I will say this. This is a dangerous moment. Because while I will say it's okay to compare them to the Patriots and how they've started slow, I will also say those Patriots teams were well into being a dominant franchise by the time they started getting to the point of where we're looking at them struggle to a point of where it's like, okay, are they even going to be able to make it to the playoffs? And then they end up making playoffs. They end up maybe even winning the Super Bowl. I'm not so sure that teams have found the confidence level to say, we can defense this team. We can play offense against this team. And I think that played out with this Tennessee Titans team, and that could be very dangerous moving forward for this Kansas City team.
That's just a bad matchup.
But it was a bad matchup. I think I called it, by the way. I will say that.
You mentioned the Patrick Mahomes hit that he took and getting dinged like that in that game. Patrick Mahomes spoke about the hit and how he was feeling after the game on Sunday.
I feel fine now. I mean, it was fourth down, so I was kind of getting held up. And instead of going down and trying to throw the ball, and obviously y'all saw the hit. So kind of took my time getting up, but I felt fine. But obviously you get to kind of go through those things, the protocol thing. Did everything I needed to do to be here right now. I have full memory of the play. It was just kind of, when you get hit pretty hard, sometimes you just want to lay there, and plus it was fourth down, and I knew kind of the game was at that end there. So it was a disappointing day and a disappointing way to end it.
Listen, I'm not a doctor. I'm just curious, you know, when it comes to dealing with potential concussion, is it protocol to make them gargle Tabasco after the game?
Is that part of the, I was just wondering.
I'm not trying to make light by laughing and listening to them talk. I'm just saying, like, I've gotten hit a few times.
And you
where,
know what it sounds like.
Well, and feels like. And, like, he's right. Like, there's some times where, like, look, it's not a boxing match. As much as you want to pop back up and get right back in there and throw some punches, you're only getting hit. Like, you don't really get to throw punches back, right? Like, a D lineman hits you, you're kind of like, all right, I'm going to soak up this one for a minute, and then I'm going to get right back up, and I'm just going to keep kind of tossing the football. But, like, you don't get to hit back. You know, it's not like a boxing match like that. So I laugh because I only know what he's saying. Like, there's a few that you got to, like, all right, let's just give this a second. The pain will go away. And it's kind of like getting hit in the nuts, you know?
Yeah,
you get hit in the nuts, and then you kind of drop to a knee, and you're like, I know eventually I'll feel better. It's just going to take a while. It's going to take a little time.
See, I took the opposite of it. I know what it feels like when you get knocked the hell out, and you thought you remembered, and you thought you knew everything that was going on until you see that junk on film. And you'd be like, I don't remember that.
I thought he got hit more like in the chin. Like, it was more of like a knee to the chin type MMA type shots.
It was bad, man. The thigh hit him and knocked his head back. His body was like being folded backwards. When I got the concussion, I got the one time from Tim Biakabatuka from Michigan. Right?
Oh, yeah.
It was kind of the same thing. It was his knee, not his quad, and it caught me right almost the same exact way. Let me tell you something. I don't know about you, Brady, but every concussion that I've had, it was like if you've ever been in a racquetball room and you throw – not the ball, because the ball makes a different noise. If you ever go in a racquetball room and you want to know what a concussion sounds like or feels like, throw a quarter off the wall as hard as you can.
Oh, and that is the worst.
And that's what my concussions felt like. It was like, doom, 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 doom. Right? And I could have told you every story about what I remembered and what it was, and I didn't remember nothing.
I remember, like, not understanding what seeing stars meant. and then I was describing what one time after I had a pretty bad one, what they're like, oh, you saw stars. I was like, oh. That's what that means. I was like, and then they go, have you ever experienced that before? I was like, oh, yeah. that happens.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, that's seeing stars? I was like, oh, yeah, I've seen that a lot of times.
Every time I spoon, I see stars, you dig?
Okay. It's two pros and a cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here, brought to you by Discover. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted in 99% of places in the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report. Limitations apply. Up next, somebody in the NFL, are they the surprise of the league? How legit are they? We will answer all those questions for you next year on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up here momentarily, we are going to get into a discussion in the NFL, a team that many did not expect to do what they are currently doing. We're going to get to that here on Fox Sports Radio. Myself with a couple of thoroughbreds, you know? Here on Fox Sports Radio.
Quick question.
Sure.
Yeah, what is
that
question? Yeah.
Where do you guys rank Red Dawn? Where do you rank it? Red Dawn, you know the movie?
The movie?
Yeah.
Oh, Red Dawn?
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
God.
No, don't say that.
I've never seen Red Dawn.
It's been a long time since I saw it.
It's almost like the ground version and like a little bit like more, hard-hitting than Iron Eagle. But it's kind of along the lines of like an Iron Eagle, but on the ground. It's like these kids.
The announcer? Like,
No, like Iron Eagle with like Lou Gossett Jr. and
the announcer. Roberto, can we get a round of applause? That is a really good
Iron Eagle.
Industry joke there from Roberto that went over probably everybody's head. Well done by Roberto.
I would expect him to come petty right now, and that's all right, you know. It's all right.
Iron Eagle, the announcer.
Clearly, that's more interesting than if Red Dawn or Iron Eagle 1, 2.
Unbelievable.
You know, they actually made more than two sequels or two movies of Iron
Eagle. Yeah, I've never seen it.
I've never
seen Red Dawn. Yeah.
That's
it's
right in your wheelhouse, though. It is a 1984.
It's an 80s movie. Action. Yeah,
thing is, and Brady knows this. I was never really into movies like that. I was more into the Breeders' Cup myself.
Oh,
I mean, you know, personally.
I believe. You know, isn't Patrick Swayze in this movie?
He is.
Yeah,
he is.
Yeah. Definitely was.
I mean, Jonas was being nasty while guys like us were actually like watching. You know, I know he's cheating them up, but. I'm watching this while Brady and Jonas are, well, Breeders cupping it. Go ahead. Do it, Brady. Yeah.
Please do the smooth transition.
Are we just doing it now?
Yes.
Okay. I'm getting a lot of mixed. We had, you know, those technical difficulties. Yes. Now we're dealing with this. You know, one thing you can
we're
look
trying.
Forward to with 14 championship races worth $31 million in purses and awards. Yeah. The Breeders' Cup is 2 days of horse racing. Too big to miss, guys. Learn more at BreedersCup.com/2021 or bet now at TVG.com.
Yeah,
my
we're talking
man,
about horses,
done.
By the way, guys.
Damn right.
You guys don't get Brady. He's married. Sorry. Jonas, you don't get Jonas. He's married. Sorry. Yes, I'm married, too. All right,
yeah,
no. But y'all don't want me. I'm not.
Why are we not going to the Breeders' Cup?
I mean, you need to call Scott and Don and let them know.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Like, they start knocking on some doors.
I mean, $31 million.
I can't be trusted at a horse
track. That's a lot of money. I mean, I'd love to see it. I'd love to see whatever beautiful disaster that is.
We should be able to do it live at the finish line.
LeVar, would you want to see Jonas at any sort of gambling?
I think it would be funny. I think we would have to make sure we record it. Because like he said, you could see it in Patrick Mahomes' eyes when he's out of it. I would love to see Jonas's eyes at a horse racing track.
Oh, my God. Because I'll bet on everything. I don't care if I lose. Because I bet small amounts, so I don't care if I lose. And I will bet on every single race. And I get to the point to where I get so drunk that not only do I bet every single race.
But
I belligerently do it. Yes, and I bet every single horse in the race because that way I know I'm not going to lose because I'm going to pick one of the winners. But the problem is because I'm betting on all the other losers, I end up losing I lose a significant amount of money.
The downfall is going to be Jonas, given the fact that he's a lightweight when drinking. All right.
He gets
like three beers in. It's over.
He's
only going to get like three races in before he's hammered starts. And this strategy doesn't work out. So don't plan on going very long with him, LeVar.
Okay.
It's going to be a few races and then we're out.
Then we just keep laughing. You know, we'll keep the party going.
We'll keep gambling.
Yeah.
That's all right. Coming up in, we'll call it 15 minutes from now here on FSR. We are going to have another edition of the Prop Bet Monster. And I am hearing reports that it could feature John Gruden.
Oh.
All right, I am hearing reports of that, so we'll get to that here 15 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio.
Can I be honest with you all real quick?
Yes. Thank you, Coach.
Thanksgiving is coming. It's coming.
It is.
It's a great point.
Yeah, I'm not sure whose house he's going to, but
he's probably going to stay. I'ma just stay in this year. You know, I'ma just hang at home with the fam.
We had a turkey hole for one.
Is the turkey hole where they put the stuffing and all that stuff in there?
I believe it's where it what gets stuffed.
The vegetables and all that. All right.
Pretty sure it's what gets stuffed.
Okay. All right. There we go.
We do so many different prop bet monsters over under. I don't know what the hell we like. Did we have stuff over the weekend? Like, did we do something last week that didn't matter? Like, it's Monday. Do we not ever go back over that?
We recap that. when we do our next over-unders on Friday. So every Friday when we do the over-unders, we recap that. The prop bet monsters, Thursdays
no,
and Mondays.
No, we did one. We had one on Thursday last week.
Yeah, that was on the college football. You and I won, and I didn't want to bring it up because LeVar had Penn State minus 24.5. And I, again, I didn't want to bring that up.
Was that just a random segment we did?
Yeah, the Wheel of Gambling. Remember the Wheel of Gambling?
Oh,
we did?
That
college
was the
football?
Wheel. See?
Yeah.
I'm trying to get all this stuff down, man. There's a lot of gambling going on.
There is a lot of stuff going on. Can I just apologize here on the air? I definitely owe somebody an apology since nobody else wants to do this.
I know you're going to do what you're going to do. I just say I'm going to immediately defend you?
Okay.
I'm going to immediately defend you because I think there's something out there that makes what you're about to do so wrong.
Okay. I apologize to the Cincinnati Bengals organization, and I would like to apologize to Ja'Marr Chase because when they passed up on Penei Sewell to improve their offensive line with a quarterback coming off a knee that was mangled a year ago, and they went with a wide receiver, I was heavily critical. I said, typical Bengals move. And I would like to say that I was wrong because Ja'Marr Chase is a stud, and the Bengals are one of the surprises of the NFL, if not the surprise of the NFL, and I completely got that one wrong. So I would like to own up to that, Brady Quinn. I apologize.
Here's my issue with this is, look, Ja'Marr Chase, I think there was more people who need to admit that, you know, they were wrong when they were basically casting the guy on the side because of preseason, right? Because he had a few drops and he was talking about, hey, by the way, the reality of the fact that he goes, yeah, these balls, they don't have stripes on them. The college balls do. It's a little easier to pick. Like, he was being honest with everyone out there.
Yeah.
He was being honest. And that is one jump that you make. I was just talking to some folks at Fox about how they're designing the USFL balls. That's coming back. That league is. And it's interesting when you talk to people with these startup leagues because there is a big jump in how your eye catches the ball and how you judge it when there's no stripes on it.
Yeah.
Because you grew up in high school where it's all the way around, college where it's halfway around, and then you got nothing. And so it is different how it catches your eye for receivers. He was being honest, and people bashed him. Mm-hmm. But, look, he's had a phenomenal rookie year. He might be top five wide receiver right now in the NFL when you look at how he's played. But that also doesn't make the fact that they chose Ja'Marr Chase the right answer. Like, it's helping for their team now. But if next week Joe Burrow gets blindsided and you're knocked out of a game, are we going to have that argument again of, well, they should have drafted Penei Sewell, who had a good start, I think, you know, as a rookie, as a left tackle for the Lions. Now has struggled a little bit, but I think any tackle is going to struggle, by the way, when you look at, you know, being put in a position to have to, you know, constantly be down in games like the Lions have and be put on an island to have to deal with the pass rush every single game, which is what he's had to deal with. Bottom line is they both could have been right. Like, you could have also had a stable foundational left tackle or a number one wide receiver. Like, but in today's society, in today's world, it can only be one or the other. Like, you can't just have, hey, both are good players, both would have made sense. The bottom line is both are helping Joe Burrow, and that's why the Bengals right now are the top of the AFC North, which I don't think anyone would have thought at this point in time in the year.
That's the funny thing that I was about to say is that doesn't make sense to me. That's the head scratcher. You got Cincinnati atop, you got Pittsburgh bottom. Like, how does that even work in the AFC North? But
yeah, what do they call that?
Mixed up. But here's the thing. Well, hey, you know.
The Cleveland Steamers, you know, all kinds of stuff. I'm not sure what you call that.
I don't know, but I will say I agree with that. I don't think there was a right or wrong on this one in the sense that, you know, you could have given him more protection. And maybe for the long haul, that makes a whole lot more sense. In the initial, sometimes you just don't see and feel the effect and the impact of what an offensive lineman will bring. I'll tell you what you will feel and what you will notice and what you will see is the impact of a receiver or of a running back, right, or of a quarterback. So in seeing what Ja'Marr Chase has been able to do in terms of his production, I mentioned this earlier, he's not, and you alluded to it as well, he's not just up for rookie of the year on the offensive side of the ball. He is contending with, I mean, what wide receiver in the National Football League is playing better than Ja'Marr Chase right now?
Devontae Adams.
Well, it's up there.
But again, that we're having this conversation tells you how good he's been.
I mean, the fact that he's in the conversation, and that's the key. And listen, to me, to look at this Cincinnati Bengals team and the way they're playing right now, for them to be atop of the AFC North, I will say this. We had the discussion as to what we would come out of this weekend saying if the Bengals won this game against Baltimore. I think it's without question that the AFC North is the strongest division once again in terms of title coming out of this weekend. That was my conclusion. That was like my major takeaway, is that this was confirmation that you have a four, because that how we talked about Kansas City could make their run and heat up and maybe do something different moving towards the end of the season. That could be the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that could be the Cleveland Browns, the Steelers, right? And they're all right there within two games of one another. So I came out of the weekend feeling that way.
I think you're right, too. Just looking at all the divisions, they're the only division where they don't have a team below 500. Mm-hmm. I mean, and think about that. And by the way, when you start looking at the lack of parity in the NFL, I think there was, eight games, that were double-digit victories. I mean, not even close. And that's not even including like a 9-point win in there too. It's been 2 weeks in a row of just ass beatings. I mean, honestly, it's been crazy to me how the last 2 weeks have kind of identified the fact that you've got the haves and the have-nots, and there's a lot of division races that they over. I mean, the NFC North, it's over. You're done. You can look at the NFC South, done. NFC East, done.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, AFC South, maybe the Colts can start to climb back, but the way the Titans look right now, hey, how about the AFC East? Done. Like, all these divisions, it's over. But the AFC North, they're still battling there. I think the NFC West, you know, obviously Arizona and L.A. are still battling. But that's about it, man. Like, our playoff picture is already starting to form right now.
Yeah.
It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio. You can hang out with us, as always, on the iHeartRadio app. Coming up next, we are going to have another edition of the Prop Bet Monster, a special look ahead to tonight's game. And rumor has it, it may feature John Gruden. Find out how next here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Whoop, 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 two. Can't believe
it's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe.
Hey, Jonas.
Yo.
Before you bring us back in, I just cannot believe that Berto doesn't know this song is from Half Baked. Okay, now bring us back in. All right, you got it. I just can't understand how you don't know that this is on Half Baked, but okay.
It sounds like it's from the 70s. I mean, we're being honest.
And don't so any.
When's the last time Berto's seen Half Baked?
I mean, he's never seen it.
He's lived it.
Mm. Yeah.
He's clearly never seen it.
That's Lee's.
That
life.
Is a problem.
I'll tell you what, that is a problem if you have not seen Dave Chappelle.
Hey, girl, you hungry?
F you!
That is a funny movie. If you haven't seen it, he actually is talking to a horse.
Yes, scene, not the lady. So. But yeah, she thought it was
not
her.
Talking to a woman. He's talking to a horse.
Yes.
So
it is LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox here on Fox Sports Radio.
Breeders
by the way, coming up top of next hour, we are going to have a discussion about a team that did everything they possibly could to try and win a game. I mean, everything they possibly could, but a little bit of heartbreak for a member of the organization there. So we'll have that for you here, top of next hour on FSR. If you guys are ready, we've got another edition of the Prop Bet Monster. This is where we take a special look ahead to Thursday night and Monday night football. Brady Quinn has a 3-2-1 season lead right now. He is one game up over LeVar Arrington. He won on Thursday night with an opportunity at a clean sweep, but there's going to be some shenanigans. So let's take it away.
Here to feed your degenerate gambling soul, the Prop Bet Monster. Sucker.
All right, so we are going to Seattle, where we have got the Seahawks hosting the New Orleans Saints on Monday Night Football, and you're going to have to get a little bit negative here to start off the segment, guys. First interception thrown, Jameis Winston or Geno Smith?
No Russell Wilson on that list?
No, he went out to. They don't include pregame warmups.
Oh, Casper the Friendly Ghost on the pick.
How
10,
is that not the opening over-under? How is that not the opening over-under?
Who knows?
Russell
maybe.
Wilson will be
maybe
out there doing his two-minute drive.
I'm going with Geno.
Maybe it'll make an appearance.
I'm taking Geno.
I can't do it to my man Geno. I can't even. Oh, gosh. I mean,
Mister,
I just, Mister, I can foresee
Mister
it happening.
Unlimited. You got to be unlimited.
What's Geno unlimited at?
I think he's going to be put in a bad spot. So I'm with LeVar. I feel bad, man.
Oh, man.
I like Geno. He's a good dude. I just think his defense is going to get scored on. He's going to have to play from behind, and he's going to be put in some bad spots.
Did you ever think you would get to a point to where you would pick somebody to throw an interception before Jameis Winston in a primetime game? How about that? Talk about a reversal of fortune for
Jameis
Winston.
Watch the first pass he throws tonight.
Hey, can you hit the racist button, please?
How is that racist? Because what are you talking about?
You waited to do that with Geno
racist.
Smith. It wasn't any other
racist.
Quarterback. It was Geno
this,
Smith.
That is ridiculous.
It had to be another one, so, you know, hit the button. There it is.
All right, next up, does
Just
Russell
kidding.
Wilson go through another pregame huddle and a two-minute drill by himself before the game? Yes or no?
200%.
100%. I'm going to agree with you here too, which makes for a bad segment. But I think it's for this reason. All right, this isn't Sunday Night Football, right?
This
it's
is
Monday night football.
Yeah. He's 100%.
And ESPN saw. It's not even so much about him because it's about if ESPN is going to tape it. I think they saw how that went viral. I think they saw how that from Sunday Night Football on NBC got so much run from it that now they're in the business of doing anything they can to get attention. So I think you're going to see ESPN covering it when he does. It might even be coordinated. It could be a part of their actual rundown for their show just to be able to show this. So for that reason, I'm saying he's definitely going to get filmed.
Russ saw it too, so don't be surprised if Sierra is running right.
Oh, jeez.
Don't be surprised if his son is taking handoffs and Sierra's running routes.
Oh, all right, so
just say.
Next up, false start penalties, over, under 2.5. It's in Seattle. It gets noisy. Over, under 2.5 on false start penalties.
Under.
Oh.
Taking the under.
And this is both teams, though, because forget if it's just – are you only saying the Saints or both teams?
Both teams.
Oh. I mean, because here's the thing is you do have – I mean, Geno's been working with him, but maybe there's in those instances sometimes where different cadence.
Would you make
I'm going to say over.
I'm going
I'm
to
say over.
All right, here we go. Does it noticeably rain during the game, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
And final one, Monday Night Football crew members shown catching a fish at Pike's Place Market. Your options are Steve Levy, Brian Greasy, Louis Riddick, or John Gruden.
John Gruden.
John Gruden.
You guys are a couple of a-holes. way to sabotage the entire segment
well done,
by taking the ringer.
Back at you, old brother.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.